fresh for breakfast. This is a Jess and Tommy podcast.
Get up with Jess and Tommy. Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9. Harvey Norman Furniture and Bedding, your furniture and bedding specialists.
Good morning, team, and happy hump day. Thanks for getting up with us.
Jess, I tried to give you a buzz last night, and you said, hey, bro, got a bit of a sore throat, trying not to talk. And I said, all right, yeah, nah, fair enough. If there's anything I can do, let me know. You responded and said, anything you can do, what could you possibly do in this scenario? I would love to know. Now, I told you what I could do, and you didn't respond to that text, so I've just gone out on my own and done what I think might help. Bought you a pack of Strepsils. I've bought you four lemons.
Four for three.
Yeah, $4 for $3. Good bargain. I'm passing these to you as we speak. Some Robitussin, chesty, cold and cough.
Robitussin?
Yep.
So what you had as a kid?
Yeah, it was. It works. Couple of packets of soothers. Oh. And I even brought my kettle from home. Just so to save your time, you can make your honey and lemon tea in the studio so you don't have to duck out.
I don't actually see any honey, Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
So how am I making honey lemon tea?
I felt like you would have honey. Dan, this is a huge downfall in my plan.
No, that's very kind. And I'm loving the motif. Everything's yellow.
Yeah, really, except the kettle.
I do enjoy yellow-flavoured things. You know this, yellow Starburst.
Yes.
But and lemon-flavoured confectionery.
Even the Strepsils are honey and lemon.
Honey and maybe I can melt one of them down in the tea.
That'd be fun.
We're not doing that.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that'd work.
So your throat is sore now. I hoped you could have some of this throughout the show. Maybe we can check up and see how it's feeling.
You really proved your point, didn't you?
Yeah, I said
I thought at 7 o'clock at night, what could you possibly do? Unless you're making me chicken soup right now and you're willing to bring it over, there's nothing you can do to help a mate's sore throat. Mm. Spending money. You know I appreciate it. It's saving me about 10 bucks.
20, I'd like a note.
Thanks, Chairman. How appropriate that we're just about to press play on Lady Gaga, The Cure. So that's well done. That means a lot. Thanks, bro.
No worries.
I would not be paying you back. And next time you get a sore throat, I'll maybe leave a couple of lemons in the cupboard for you. Just recycle them. Hey, coming up this hour, the title of grossest body part is up for grabs after 6:30. We want you to have your say. Plus, the housemate goodnight experiment continues.
Oh, yes. But next, the length the Sydney man has gone to make sure he'll never be caught without his public transport pass.
Like his Mikey card?
Yeah, except in Sydney it's called an Opal card, but yeah, his Mikey.
That's weird. Gaga now, this is The Cure on GB's Hit 96.9. And Tommy, just an update. You very kindly have provided me with all the sore throat medications and lozenges I could possibly need.
Yep.
You've caught me in the middle of a soother. And I apologise if I sound very salivating because my mouth is kind of watering.
Jess and Tommy's, in case you missed it.
Okay, so I don't catch public transport a lot. And in Victoria, the public transport, card that we all use is the Mikey. In Sydney, they use the Opal card. Now, a man in Sydney has gone to extreme lengths to make sure he's never caught without his Opal card on the train. Now, this man's name, he's a biohacker. I'm not really sure what a biohacker is, if it's the same as a cyber hacker. Either way, his name is Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow. That's his legal name.
That's on his birth certificate?
See, look, I'm not sure if it's on his birth certificate or if he's had it legally changed to that.
His mum's name's Wolf Wolf, so we could realistically, his name could be Meow Meow.
Very good. Now.
Meow.
Mr. Meow Meow. Yeah, good. He's had the chip from Sydney's Opal card cut down and encased in a biocompatible plastic and implanted in his hand.
This is the future, Tommy.
Yeah, but it's just so unnecessary. Like Meow Meow's come out and said, it gives me an ability that not everyone else has. If someone stole my wallet, I could still get home.
That's the most important thing. When someone steals your wallet, you can still get home.
But seriously, if you're looking at all the cards in your wallet thinking, now, if someone steals my wallet,
what's the most vital to have implanted in me?
Yeah, surely it'd be a PayPass card.
Yeah, your Visa card or something.
Yeah.
He's gone Opal.
I just don't get it.
Maybe he lives on the train.
Maybe. But I feel like that would be in the story. I feel like I would have found that out. But he's actually warned others not to do the same without expertise and research.
Okay, maybe that's something to do with his job title, biohacker. He hacks into his own biology.
Oh.
I don't know. Did he do it on himself or did he go to a hospital?
No, he went to a hospital and it took an hour to do. But if you could have PayWave inserted in your hand.
Too dangerous. No way. Can you imagine?
Yeah, you'd... But you've got it in the access in your wallet, which you have with you everywhere.
Yeah, but sometimes I say, I forgot my wallet. Tommy, you have to pay. If it's in my hand, I couldn't use that excuse anymore.
Jess and Tommy. Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
Coming up inside 20, what is the grossest body part? Because I don't think it's the feet, and I had a massive fight with someone yesterday about what the actual grossest body part is. We want to hear from you inside 20. But right now, Tommy, the housemate goodnight experiment.
Yeah.
Kicked off earlier in the week after you said it was a thing.
Of course it's a thing.
To say goodnight to housemates. I thought it was romantic. It was purely restricted to family members or a partner you're cuddling up into bed with. But after our jury got involved on the phones and said, no, no, you have to do it. I've been secretly recording my housemates as I say goodnight to capture their reactions.
And that's the thing. Yesterday, they were in a bit of shock.
Yeah. What the hell? You said goodnight. And it became a whole thing. And then I didn't go to bed for another 10 minutes while we debunked why I was saying it. I didn't tell them it was an experiment.
Oh, good, good.
But I did it again last night. And the reactions are not dwindling.
Good night, Gemma.
Good night,
Lana.
I got a good night.
I reckon their reaction, Gemma's specifically, she just said good night.
Yeah. She's almost just into it. This is now normal.
Yeah. Are we going to do it again tomorrow?
Well, I reckon we do it again tonight. I don't want it to be, it's not meant to be a thing, is it?
No.
But because I'm coming off, you know, a year living with these girls having never said it, it's still a thing.
Do you reckon maybe you have to do it until it's routine and they don't react?
Yeah, and then I can stop doing it again because lull them into. But this is where I was actually thinking, Tommy. I think the fact that it's good night, it doesn't feel natural to me. That's why I think it's still warranting such a reaction from my housemates, because maybe I'm not saying it with the same finesse that someone who's been doing it their whole lives are doing. So what if I don't say good night and we do a bit of a Jerry Seinfeld here and change what we're saying?
Okay.
You remember that episode where instead of saying God bless you when someone sneezes, you say, you're so good looking. You want to make them feel better. So if the whole point is to make sure, you know, they have a good night, inherently that's what you want them to have. How about I compliment them just before bed? Like, hey, I see you just washed your hair. Looks real clean.
I mean, no, I'm not going to let that fly.
Okay, what about this? What about this? Oh, I can see you've taken your makeup just before bed. I'm sure your skin will appreciate not being clogged for the next 8 to 9 hours.
Once again, I think you're missing the point.
Okay, what about this one? What about this one? Hey, I noticed they're not your usual socks you wear to bed, which would insinuate you wash your socks, and I'm sure your bed sheets would appreciate the cleanliness these new socks.
Okay, I've got something for you that's easier than all of that.
Okay.
And it's an abbreviation of goodnight. Why don't you just go, night, girls?
That's still two words.
Okay, why don't you just go, night, in a nice high-pitched tone.
And just keep walking as I say it so I don't get caught in conversation.
Yeah, so it's like, night. And I think night insinuates, I'm going to bed now. Night.
No more conversation.
Yeah, I think you have the issue with the good.
I think my issue is with the good as well. All right, I'll try the night tonight.
Okay.
Report tomorrow.
Jess and Tommy.
Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
And if you want to have your say, get involved in the show, 13, 12, 16, we're talking what is the grossest body part? Tommy, this comes after Workday Gem, the chicky here on your radios just after 9, was having some ear trouble yesterday, specifically with her earrings, but she was mucking around with her earlobes for so long. There was a lot of ear talk going around the office. She got everyone involved because her earrings were stuck in her lobes. I was like, ears are gross.
Ears are gross.
But are they the grossest body part?
I don't think so. There were a few people in the office who did think that ears were the grossest, but you and I both disagree.
And I know the general consensus will be feet.
Mm.
I think feet are the common majority probably would say feet are yuck. I'm not sure why. Maybe because they spend half their lives inside a shoe. So a lot could be going on, the chemical reactions that are happening inside a sock.
But I would argue that they're cleaner because they're not touching. I would argue your hands are dirtier than your feet because they're in a sock.
Because the hands are exposed.
Yeah, and they're touching everything.
Great point. For me, the grossest body part, the belly button. The belly button to me is just this vortex. It's like a black hole. Mm. I truly believe if you stick your finger in far enough, you'll be inside yourself. I don't think it's got like a close.
Oh,
I think it's just a flap. You could go into your inside.
You think it's just a hole into your stomach?
Into your guts.
Right.
And I've had a massage once before where they did do some stomach work.
Ew.
And her finger kind of, you know, she dragged her hand over my stomach.
No way.
And I honestly convulsed just like you did then because my boyfriend knows, steer clear. Yeah, the belly button. Oh, God.
Now, you know what I reckon is the grossest?
Mm.
The nose.
Anything that has internal goings on.
Yeah. Well, the nose is like the bum of the face. Stuff comes out, and when you need to tend to the stuff coming out of your nose, you need to do it in private, just like you do when you go touch your bum in the toilet.
The nose is the bum of the face. Well, if that is not on a postcard or a bumper sticker somewhere within the next 24 hours, what are we doing wrong? I think you win based on that. I've got no analysis. Technically, the belly button is like the bum of the stomach because it looks like a little bum hole. This conversation has defected strangely. 13, 12, 16, we want to hear from you now.
Yeah.
What do you think is the grossest body part? We've got ears versus belly button versus nose at this stage. Is there a fourth contender we haven't even considered, Tommy? 13, 12, 16, hit us up now.
Jess and Tommy.
Goulburn Valley's
Hit 96.9.
Get up with Jess and Tommy.
Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9. Harvey Norman Furniture and Bedding, your furniture and bedding specialists.
Good morning, team, and happy hump day. Thanks for getting up with us.
All right, part three, Tommy's dodgy tax tips. We're all trying to pinch the pennies this time of year, end of financial year. Now, I've got a cracker for you today. Now, a lot of businesses are trying to do the whole work-life balance and get you doing stuff outside of work as a group to try and, you know, bond your relationships. So maybe what you should do is suggest to your boss that you start a work book club, right? You buy a book. You have to buy lots of books, I guess. Keep the receipts, claim them on tax because it was for work.
The workbook club.
Yep. And then you can re-gift those books as presents.
Later in the year.
Yes.
Great. I love it.
Once again, check with an accountant, check with the certified.
You might have to have one book club actual session. You might have to put on a little do,
yeah.
You know, in the work, you know, communal tea room or something.
Yeah.
Discuss the first chapter and then move on with your life.
Yeah.
I think you might have to prove that a book club took place. Or at least get a Facebook page.
Oh, no. I reckon do the book club.
Oh, so you're re-gifting used books.
Well,
dog ear.
Oh, yeah.
Use bookmarks.
Jess has a big issue with dog earing her books. So anyone who borrows a book from Jess, get a bookmark.
I'll give you a bookmark.
Yeah.
Hey, coming up this hour, the return of our favourite game, or what do you reckon they're doing right now? If you want to have your say on someone we should play with, comment on Facebook right now. Plus, Tommy, there's an epidemic sweeping the Greater Shepparton region.
Yep.
I don't think enough people are talking about it.
All right.
I'm going to shine the spotlight on it inside 20 for you.
Okay, next though, Ivanka Trump. We're going to have a bit of a chat about her because she's obviously a senior advisor to Donald Trump.
Obviously.
And she's come out and said she tries to leave the politics to other people. Yeah, not sure about that.
Big question mark over that one.
The senior advisor.
Let's get you dancing in your cars. This is Bieber, Louis Fonsi, Daddy Yankee, the Despacito remix on the GVs. Hit 96.9. But right now, Tommy, on the Greater Shepparton City Council Facebook page last night, they posted a very jazzy little video clip with some great animations about the burgeoning urban forest.
As part of our urban forest program, we're greening up Greater Shepparton to improve our streetscapes. So what's an urban forest?
I'll take it from here, Suzanne. So the urban forest, Tommy, is basically the trees and the shrubs and the parklands that you see in our community. So from the trees along the footpath to, say, Vic Park Lake, the urban forest. Great catchy little name, don't you think?
It is. So it's just a forest in an urban land.
Yes.
Okay,
and
I got
it. And a bit more spread out. Forest, usually quite condensed space.
Yep.
This is all spread out across the Greater Shepparton region. But
okay,
there was one little factoid in this video, Tommy.
Factoid? Oh, my God.
That caught my ear.
We manage 37,000 street and park trees in urban areas. And while some grow and prosper, others go missing, die or are in poor health.
Sorry, Suzanne, what was that?
Others go missing, die or are in poor health.
Tommy, go missing. What? Trees and shrubs and parts of the parkland are going missing. Now, I have not seen any flyers stuck up on the other tree saying missing pet tree or pet shrub, missing my brother because it's on another tree. What's going on there?
And what do they mean missing? Do you mean stolen? Like,
I'd hate to think there's something more sinister like tree napping or shrub napping going on.
Is that someone
kidnapping
them?
On trees?
I wasn't sure if like the trees had gone somewhere for a nap. I wasn't sure. But this is just taking my mind straight to Lord of the Rings. You know the big trees that walk in the forest?
Maybe they've got legs and they're just roaming around.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. Have the trees, like the pet dogs and cats that sometimes do go missing in, you know, in Shep, have they just seen a squirrel and they've kind of got distracted, yeah, chased the squirrel, and then they're like, I don't know where I am.
I mean, we're in winter. They're losing their leaves. Wait, does that happen in winter?
Autumn. More autumn.
More autumn. Okay. Well, now it's winter. They've lost their leaves.
They're naked.
They're naked. They're going to get clothes. They're going away to get the leaves
They're
back.
They're following the birds. They're going north.
Yeah.
Jess and Tommy.
Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
A common trend I've noticed amongst mums is that they love the flip case for their phones. I wanted to know why.
Too lazy to Google?
Don't trust what you read.
Tommy's done the legwork for you, getting answers to life's little questions as Tommy investigates.
Yeah, this was a tough one because I tried. The first thing I did was I hit Google. Google didn't give me anything. I was like, who invented the phone flip case? Tried to go there. So
was it a mum?
Well, that's what I really thought would have been the case. But once again,
would have been the case.
Yeah, very good. I wanted to hit the streets. I wanted to see what the people thought, because we've all seen the memes. You know, if your mum doesn't have a flip case and doesn't type with her index finger, is she really your mum? So I hit the streets and I said, the question I posed to everyone was, why do mums all have flip cases for their phones?
Phones are precious. Mums just like to protect things.
Protection. You're right. You are so right.
So it doesn't break. You know these stupid people that drop it on the concrete and smash their covers and then have to pay $150 for it. Why would you not?
I've got no idea, mate. Am I a scientist?
Because they're always so busy and they need it to organise their lives, and it's where they store all their mum secrets.
Because we're Dudley Do-Gooders and we don't want to break our phones.
Because we always can't crook at you kids for breaking your phones, so we've got to have that extra protection so we've got backup.
Because it comes with the phone and you don't have to spend money buying the fancy one.
I don't know, but it's the same reason that they have to use their index finger to type.
So, the meme has cut through.
Exactly. So we didn't actually get a conclusive answer there, but I think the overall answer is that they'd like to just have that extra sense of protection. And that's what is a mother's instinct, to just protect.
Well, to be fair, I've never seen a mum with a cracked screen. Oh. So I reckon they're onto something here. My mum has had two iPhones in her life. Just one time she's upgraded, always had the case, never a cracked phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, some other stats that I got while I was chatting to people out and about. Mums that have a flip phone case are actually 23% more likely to own sunglasses with straps, you know, that go around the head.
To hang around the neck as well when they're not using them.
When they're on holidays and they're having fun.
Yeah.
Mums that have flip phone cases, 37% more likely to have a steering wheel cover in their car.
Yeah, a fuzzy one.
And obviously the big one is mums that have flip phone cases, 77% more likely to have hand sanitizer in their handbag.
Jess and Tommy. Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
What do you reckon they're doing right now?
Right there. Right here. Right there.
Yes, the return of our favourite game, What Do You Reckon They're Doing Right Now? We posted last night for you to get involved. List a random celeb and we'll tell you what we reckon they're doing right now at 7:55 Wednesday, the 28th of June.
Yes.
Tommy, this one comes from good friend of the show, Cindy Lee.
All right.
She wants to know what you reckon Misha Barton is doing right now, a former OC fame.
Yeah, well, she hasn't done much since the OC, old Misha, so I reckon right now. Now, she's gone through tough times. I think Misha would be sitting in her apartment, reading through scripts and practicing her lines to try and get her next big break.
You reckon people are still sending Misha Barton scripts?
No. She wouldn't have been sent them. She would have scoured through the bin outside Emma Watson's house for the roles Emma Watson threw out. That's what Misha's going for.
Sure. I mean, who's going to dispute it?
Well,
Misha, if you're listening.
I don't think she is.
No?
All right. So for you, off Facebook, I'm going to go with Robbie's suggestion of your favourite footballer from Euroa, Socks Up Varley.
Oh, Gus Varley. He knows he's my fave. Socks Up Varley at 7:56 on a Wednesday, obviously. Choosing his socks for the day, Tommy. Is he going an ankle cut today? He might have PA. Maybe he could get away with a knee high and a nice short.
Oh, yeah.
So he's not exposing too much thigh in this chilly weather.
Would he go, because it's chilly, could he go a knee high under a track pant?
Ooh, I don't think so, because that's wasting the sock, Tommy.
Yeah.
I think Gus uses his sock length very wisely.
Yeah, well said.
Another one for you, Tommy. This one not on Facebook, but actually from the office. Boss Billy wants to know what you reckon Christopher Pine, Minister for Defence, is doing right now. 7:57. We've just ticked over a minute.
Okay, Christopher Pine. Not many people know. His surname is P-Y-N-E, not P-I. So on a Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, normally Chris sets aside the time to redirect all the mail that's come incorrectly to his house for Christopher P-I-N-E. So that's what he's doing.
The Hollywood actor?
Yeah, yeah. He's getting his mail. He's getting the scripts. Maybe you could pass him to Misha Barton.
Very good.
And finally for you, another one from Cindy Lee from Facebook. What's Hayley Duff doing?
Hayley?
I will confirm, older sister of Hillary.
Older sister of... Oh, well, Tommy, straight off the bat, she's doing a Jan from the Brady Bunch. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Hillary, Hillary, Hillary.
Yes.
Jess and Tommy.
Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
But right now we're chatting swearing in front of your parents. Do you do it? Is it acceptable in your household? This comes after Tommy at the weekend. I was working at Bunnings. We were broadcasting live from the new Bunnings here in Shepparton. And I met a lovely lady there. She had her four kids with her.
Mm.
And at this broadcast, they had a lot of interactive things happening in the car park. One of them being a giant inflatable bowel.
Yeah, I went down to check it out.
Yeah, it was National Bowel Cancer Awareness Week. So there was this big setup there. You could kind of walk through this inflatable bowel and learn some things. And I mentioned to this lady, I was like, have you seen all the stuff? There's the jump. Castle on the rock climbing wall, and did you see the bowel? And she goes, yeah, how's this? Little mate here, her 9-year-old son, I'm going to guess,
yeah,
took one look at it and said, Mum, what the F
Whoa.
Is that?
Whoa.
And she's pulled him up on it straight away, and she's like, ah, what's your language kind of thing? And she's retelling me this story.
In front of him?
In front of him, and he was just giggling along, eating his fairy floss, thought it was hilarious.
Right.
And all I could think was, well, he's picked that up from you because you've obviously in a household and there's nothing wrong with it, each to their own. I personally, my parents were very strict on swearing and now I don't swear in front of my parents because they kind of instilled in us, you don't swear in front of your parents.
Yeah.
I swear like a sailor every other instance of the day. But I was just looking at this woman, she was so flabbergasted how her 9-year-old son has picked up that language and I thought, well, obviously from you.
But couldn't he have picked it up from somewhere else, like a school playground or something?
Yeah, but I think if you've instilled a culture in your home, what's acceptable and what's not,
he
wouldn't do it in front of her because mum's going to tell me off or mum's going to give me a smack on the bum.
Well, that's the thing. My parents didn't like swearing when I was a kid, and now when I see my parents and I do swear, depending on the context and the type of conversation we're having, if I do swear, my dad will snap at me going, Thomas! And then I'll go, Dad, I'm 27. I can do what I want.
Well, that's the thing. I'm 26 and I won't do it. I will really monitor my language, especially if I'm getting worked up and I know that's when it's easier to do.
Yeah.
I'll really watch myself. I'm like, no, it's Mum and Dad. I can't swear. If it's just me and my brother, holy moly, let's let loose. But with the parents, I think it's a really unique situation if it's acceptable in your house or if it isn't.
Yeah.
And what the rationale behind it is.
Well, we want to hear from you. 13, 12, 16. Give us a call. We want to know, do you swear in front of your parents?
Talking cursing in front of your parents. This comes after, over the weekend, I met a lovely lady at Bunnings. She had her four kids with her and one of them ripped out the F-bomb. In context, in conversation, and she was retelling the story to me like, oh my God, you know, what the hell? And I just thought, well, he would have got that from you. And even if he didn't, as you're right, you made a good point, Tommy, could have picked it up, you know, on the playground, out about at local sport. But I just thought, if it's acceptable in your home, your kids will repeat it.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, you can't put a muzzle on them, and there are obviously a grey area, but I grew up in a household where my parents were very strict on swearing, and now I'm 26, I still don't swear in front of them because I know they don't like it, they don't appreciate it, and they'll probably tell me off.
Well, that's the thing. My parents do the same, so I guess when I'm not with them, that's when I try and get all my swearing out.
Yeah, you let loose. Exactly. So we just want to talk about this culture of swearing in front of your parents. If it happens at home, does it happen outside or vice versa? I mean, can you really control these things? In Shepherd and Sam, good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Sam, talk to us. What do you think about swearing in front of your parents?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, really.
Is that because you grew up in a household where your parents were fine with you expressing yourself in that way?
Well, when I was younger, if I was to swear, my mum would actually put like a hot chili sauce in my mouth to say that it was bad.
Sam, I got the soap one time. Yeah.
But now that I'm older, 90% of the time having a conversation with my mum, she will be the one who's swearing most of the time. So
the tables have turned.
Yeah, so maybe that now that you're an adult, she's like, she can swear now. Just didn't want you swearing as a kid.
Did things change when you kind of moved out of home, Sam, or when you hit 18?
No, my mum still swears a lot, and I now have 4 children myself, and my 4-year-old actually turned around the other day and dropped the F word, in context as well. So that was a bit of a wake-up call for me, like, oh, okay, wow, I actually really need to watch my language now. That I've got young children, so...
Amazing how they can pick it up. It almost makes it better when they use it in context because they understand how to put it into conversation. I think it's almost an intelligence thing.
Yeah, definitely.
But we don't condone it,
no,
of course.
Not at all.
No.
And Sam, I was going to say, your mum did the chilly thing to you. Next time she drops a word in front of you, I think you might have to... taste of her own medicine.
Sam, be careful though, because my mum used to use Tabasco sauce on my sister's tongue when she swore. But then my sister became immune to it, and she actually now enjoys Tabasco sauce because of that. So be careful.
Thanks so much for getting involved, Sam.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Jess and Tommy, Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.